Let's take a moment and bow our heads and pray for those who have experienced such terrible tragedy this past week. Amen. Kelly Clem is my hero. She's an amazing woman. She and her husband are both United Methodist ministers in Alabama. Back on Palm Sunday of 1994, she was serving as the pastor of the Goshen United Methodist Church just outside of Piedmont, which is on the eastern side of the state. As the children of the congregation were performing their annual passion drama during the morning service, a tornado dropped out of the sky right over the church. The winds ripped the roof off of the building and then slammed it back down, collapsing the entire sanctuary. Kelly recalls that some people ran, some people got under the pews, and some people sat still. In all, 20 people of that congregation perished that day, most of them children. One of them was Kelly's 4-year-old daughter, Hannah. As you might imagine, the days and the weeks ahead were very, very difficult. In addition to having to comfort the members of her congregation, she and her husband had to bury their daughter. People would ask her, "Why did this happen?" The best that she could offer was, "I don't know." Last week, she was interviewed immediately following the tornado that ripped through Joplin, Missouri. And once again, she offered the very same answer to the very same question. Why did it happen? I don't know. Kelly Clem is not only my hero, but one of the most honest people in the world. As someone who has literally stood in the eye of the storm and survived, she doesn't purport to have all the answers. Her experience has taught her that there are many times when there are simply no answers to the deepest questions of life. That, I believe, can certainly be the case with everything that has happened in the first few months of 2011. You know the litany. First, there was that great earthquake in New Zealand, followed just a few weeks later by the even greater earthquake and resulting tsunami in Japan. Then there was that lethal outbreak of tornadoes in Alabama and in several other southern states. After that, the Mississippi River flooded in historic proportions. Then last Sunday, that deadly tornado ripped through Joplin, Missouri, and it was quickly followed on Tuesday by more tornadoes that tore a path through Oklahoma, Kansas, and Arkansas. And let's not forget the blizzard that paralyzed the East Coast back in January, or that erupting volcano in Iceland that has spewed tons of ash over Europe. It seems that the last few months have been nothing more than a series of one natural disaster after another. The planet has not been good to us of late. 2011 will be a year to remember for all the wrong reasons. And there is not a person here this morning who does not yearn to know why all of these terrible things seem to be happening. Yet, if we are all honest with ourselves, then we are going to have to join with Kelly Clem and simply say that we don't know. We really have no idea why all of these things are happening. And anyone who says they have the answers is either lying or deluded. No one knows why. Oh, in the case of the tornadoes that ripped through our country last week, we do know how. We do know, for example, that the planet on which we live is surrounded by a mixture of life-giving gases that scientists call atmosphere. The heat of the sun, rotation of the earth, and vapor from the sea, not to mention all of the basic laws of physics, all affect the behavior of the atmosphere in one way or another. Scientists call that behavior weather. Sometimes all of the things that can affect weather come together in violent collisions, which scientists call storms. Location. You've always heard location, location, location. It's the same for weather. Location can have an amazing effect on storms, especially if that location happens to be in the central portion of North America. Sometimes, for example, the cold air that flows out from the Rocky Mountains butts up against the warm, moist air that is thrown up from the Gulf of Mexico. When and where that happens, a particularly vicious type of storm can develop. Scientists call those storms supercells, which can often produce powerful rotating downdrafts. Scientists, as well as Kansas girls named Dorothy, call those rotating downdrafts tornadoes. Often these tornadoes take paths that bring them directly into contact with human communities. Scientists and lay people alike call the aftermath of such contact hell. Now, while I have given you the Cliff Notes version of that rather detailed scientific process, that's the answer to the how of the events of last week. But as to the why, well, we simply don't know. We have no idea why those 130 plus residents of Joplin had to die. And as I've said before, anyone who tries to tell you otherwise is simply lying. Of course, that does not stop those same people from offering their opinions when tragedy strikes, opinions that can cause even more grief and pain to those who have been stricken with great, great tragedy. You may remember that back when Hurricane Katrina's struck the Gulf Coast, New Orleans then Mayor Ralph Nagin said, "Surely God is mad at America. He sent hurricane after hurricane." You may remember that after the great earthquake in Haiti, the televangelist Pat Robertson said that all that terrible destruction was God's response to a pact that the people of that island had once made with the devil. And you may also remember that after almost every great American calamity, whether man-made or natural, the good folks down at Westboro Baptist Church in Topeka will always refer to God's hate and America's acceptance of homosexuality. Now, I haven't heard any of that yet, fortunately. Maybe it has happened. I haven't heard any of it. But I'm almost certain that someday, somewhere, someone will reflect on the tragedies of this last week and say that God is somehow behind all of that destruction and death. Well, I would like to object to those ideas this morning in the strongest possible of ways. Even though we don't know why these great tragedies have occurred, I feel fairly confident in rejecting the idea that God was somehow behind all of the destruction that we have seen these past 5 months. Specifically, I would like to begin by rejecting the idea that somehow last week's tornadoes were God's will. Somehow God's will was behind those terrible storms. In the aftermath of tragedy, people will often say as much. They will resign themselves to whatever they just have experienced and simply say, it is the will of God. Is that true? Is that what we truly believe? Is it really God's will to cause such deadly destruction, to break people's hearts, or to turn vibrant communities completely upside down? Of course it's not God's will to do that. That type of thinking is contrary to everything that the Bible has ever taught us about God. From the very beginning, Scripture has taught us that God is loving, merciful, and just. There is nothing loving, merciful, and just about the tornado that killed 15 little children during a Palm Sunday passion drama. There is nothing loving, merciful, and just about the tornado that crushed 11 elderly people in that Joplin nursing home or demolished a working, needed hospital. There is nothing loving, merciful, and just about tidal waves that indiscriminately wash people out to sea, about hurricanes that wreak havoc on the poorest section of a city, or earthquakes that only add more agony to an island that has seen century after century of pain. While we don't know why these great tragedies happen, I'm here to tell you that none of it has been because of the will of God. These acts of violence and destruction are totally inconsistent with the God who, as John famously wrote, so loved the world, so loved the planet, that he gave his only son. I would also like to reject the idea that what happened this past week has something to do with God's wrath. In the aftermath of tragedy, you will often hear people say, well, God must be punishing me for my past, or maybe God must be punishing us. This type of thinking says that tragedy and suffering is the result of an individual or a group doing something that makes God very, very angry. This type of thinking says that God is out to exact punishment on those who do wrong. Is that true? Does God use tragedy and suffering to punish you and me for our individual and collective sin? Let me simply remind you that if that was true, then the story of Good Friday and Easter would all be for naught. The singing of the great hymn, Christ the Lord has risen today, would simply be a delusion. While there may be a whole lot of ways to understand what I'm about to say, you must remember that the very heart of the Christian gospel is the proclamation that Jesus bore the punishment for our sins on the cross. While we do not know why these awful natural disasters have happened, it was not because God is mad at us. If that were true, then the prayer that Jesus offered on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, would be nothing more than a cruel joke. Finally, I would also like to reject the idea that somehow God is testing us, that God uses great catastrophes to examine our faith. In the aftermath of disaster, you will often hear people say, God is testing our faith, or maybe even, God is testing me. Oh, really? You probably heard on CNN or Fox or whatever station you listen to the story of little Skylar Logsdon. He was the 15-month-old toddler that became separated from his parents during last Sunday night storm. Despite their own difficult injuries, His mother and father searched desperately for him. By Thursday, they finally found him. Yesterday, they buried him. Were his parents being tested? Did the God who say, "Let the little children come to me," and promised a millstone around the neck of anyone who caused a little one to stumble, violently take little Skylar from his parents' arms to determine if their faith was strong or perhaps needed to be stronger? You know as well as I know that if God examined you and me that way, we would both fail. And you know as well as I know that if God examined you and me that way, we would both be more than happy to fail. How can someone have faith in a God like that? Why would someone have faith in a God like that? We may not know why these things happen, but it was not because God was administering some big test of faith. In our questioning of why all of this pain and suffering has happened to our neighbors to the south, and while wondering why our nation seems to be experiencing one natural disaster after another of late, the most honest answer that any of us can give is simply, we don't know. We have no idea why these things are happening. Once again, those who say they do know are simply lying. But if you are like me, then you must admit that we don't know is not a very satisfying answer. We don't know does nothing to give us hope in the midst of the storm. We don't know does nothing to help us sleep better at night. We don't know does nothing to help us try to make sense out of the senseless. There has to be something that we can grab onto that can give us some kind of hope amid all of those terrible images of broken homes and tattered lives that continue to fill our television screens. Well, the good news that I'd like to share with you today is there is something upon which we can grab. And once again, I think we can turn to Kelly Clem for an explanation. As one who has been there, as one who knows better than anyone else what it is like to stand in the eye of that storm, it's important that we listen to her words. Of course, they are nothing more than words that people have taught and have known for ages, but they are important for us to hear just the same. When Kelly went to visit the people down in Tuscaloosa back in late April, people who had just suffered from very, very devastating tornadoes themselves, she would follow her answer of "we don't know" with the following. We cannot answer that question right now. And I really don't think that it is a helpful question because it is looking backwards. Look for the God who is standing with you right now, she would tell them. Look for the God who is present in picking up the pieces, in people who will help, in friendships, and in the healing that will happen as you move forward. From one who has suffered great loss to those who were suffering great loss, Kelly Clem affirmed that even in the midst of everything that they had experienced, God is with us. I hope you remember that. I hope you let those words sink deeply into your soul. You remember the psalm that you heard earlier. The words of Psalm 46 are very familiar. As a matter of fact, they are the basis of Martin Luther's great hymn, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." Listen to the first few verses again. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea, though its waters roar in foam, though the mountains tremble with its tumult. While those words can certainly be understood to be describing natural disasters, they can also be understood to describe cosmic disasters. To the ancient Israelites, you see, to people who had spent their entire lives on dry land, any talk of the sea was to be understood in the most frightening of terms. For the children of Abraham, the sea represented complete and total chaos. But it was God, the faith of Israel proclaimed, who separated the waters above the earth from the waters below the earth, that chaos that was looming all around, and fashioned a good creation. It was God who saved Noah and his family through the chaos of a flood. It was God who walked with David through the chaos of that darkened and shadowed valley. It was God who sat with Daniel through the chaos of a lion's den. Psalm 46 reminds us that even in the most chaotic of times, when the very foundations of our lives are being shaken, God is our refuge and strength. Psalm 46 reminds us that even in the driving rain of a hurricane, or the shifting sands of an earthquake, or the rushing waters of a tsunami, or the billowing plume of a volcano, or the searing blast of lightning, or the twisting winds of tornadoes, and even in the path of complete and total destruction that each of those leave, God is a very present help in time of trouble. We don't understand why the deadliest single tornado in our nation's history passed through Joplin, Missouri last Sunday. We don't know why hundreds of tornadoes swept through Alabama and Mississippi last month in April, and over 300 people lost their lives. We don't know why a 9.0 earthquake struck off the coast of Japan and caused a tsunami that wiped out thousands. We don't know why natural disasters strike. We never will know why. We do know, however, that when they do strike, we are never, ever alone. We do know that when they do occur, God is with us. If there's anything to be taken from the terrible things that we have seen these past few months, it is that the Apostle Paul, writing to the Church of Rome over 1900 years ago, was exactly correct. Do you remember his words that come at the end of the 8th chapter? Paul writes, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? No," he wrote, "in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." We don't know why the storms come. We don't know why tragedy happens. We do know, however, that in the midst of it all, we can count on God. For as the Creed affirms, in life, in death, and life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. And let us pray. Once again, O God, we pray for those who suffered terrible loss this past week and also these past few months. We can't imagine what they must be going through, but remind them and remind us that in the midst of such tragedy, you are with them. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.